Amen. Well, I hope you noticed that the songs tonight were to encourage you. First song was Comeback. You've been through an awful lot of battles, so I wanted you to know you're in a comeback, all right? And then all the rest of them just talk for themselves. This was to edify you and lift you up and let you know, hey, everything's going to be just fine. The one we sang already won. Now, you got all excited about that. I hope you believe what you sung. Amen. Hope you just didn't get excited. Oh, there's a fast song. Let's sing. Be happy with that. I want you to really understand what the song they're ministering to you right now, because we've been going through an awful lot of battles right now. But isn't one thing is 10 others, right? But, you know, I just think you need to understand that God is in control of all things. And it's not up to us, it's up to Him. And Father, I thank you and I praise you right now. And we just sit at your feet tonight, Father, and we just receive the fresh manna from heaven. We receive everything you have to give us. And Father, right now, I'm asking you to reach down through the portals of heaven and touch your people in a different way than you've ever touched them before. Lead them by the still waters, Father God, and let them understand that no matter what's going on, you are with them. And Father God, encourage them and lift them up, even by speaking with a still small voice to them. And Father God, as they go through the fire, let them know that the fire is in them, so they can go forth as burning bushes to defeat the enemy in other people's lives. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad I don't live in North Carolina. You know, I have my little ankle deep water in my basement. That's nothing compared to what they're going through out there. And, you know, I don't know why things are happening the way they are, but they're just happening, right? And there's nothing we can do about it. All we can do is pray. And it's up to God to do whatever He is wanting to do through everything. So, I just hope that you're looking at what's going on and you're understanding how wonderful your life is and that you really don't have any problems. You know, some of them people have lost everything twice and they don't want to go back there again and rebuild. What's the sense, one lady said. Some of us are like that in our walk with God. What's the sense of going on after all, you know? God's really not doing anything for me. I'm just in one stew after another. But that's not where we should be. I'm going to teach on something tonight. I'm just going to be reading some things because the body of Christ does not know how to go through persecution. It really doesn't. You know, sometimes I look at people and listen to what they say and I thought, you know, you aren't going through anything. You really aren't. And we need to really stop looking at ourselves and thinking what we're going through and start looking at what Jesus is doing through us. The first person I'm going to talk about is a young man by the name of Lou, and then his last name is Zhenying. He fell to the floor. He was talking to a charisma, and this is what he said. He wrote a book, but he's given his testimony. Fell to the floor convulsing, his frail body coursing with electricity. Prison guards, electric shock batons in hand, stepped back unashamedly as he lost consciousness. Inside Nanyang Prison, located in China's Henan Province, 25-year-old, he was 25 years old, Liu was beginning the 75th day of his fast from both food and water. 75 days without food and water, being electric shocked every day and beat. Although he was 5 feet 5 inches, he weighed less than 70 pounds and had to be carried to a room where officials had arranged for his family to see him. The PSB, China's secret police, was hoping Liu's wife and mother would convince him to renounce his superstitious beliefs and reveal the identities and locations of his unregistered house church contacts. When Liu regained consciousness, his head was in his mother's lap. She was sobbing. His young wife and sister peered at him in horror. He was an unsightly pile of skin and bones covered in crusty blood and filth. His ears were shriveled like raisins, and portions of his scalp were exposed because the prison guards had ripped his hair out. All because he loved Jesus, by the way, and would not renounce his faith. And he wouldn't tell them where the other churches were being held. Only a birthmark convinced Lou's mother that the man she was holding was her son. Soon they were all crying. Lou broke his fast by sharing communion with his family. Then he cried, "I will see you all in heaven." That was April 7th, 1984. Lou believed he would soon die for the Lord in that prison. He would die for the Lord in that prison. But God had other plans. He was released 4 years later, but imprisoned and tortured twice more before escaping China in 1997. This young evangelist continued to preach despite the constant threat of arrest. In 1983, after a secret house church meeting in a village, PSB officers arrested Yun again. As he was being kicked and dragged through the snow, Yun feigned insanity to warn other believers to run, shouting, "I'm a heavenly man. I live in Gospel Village. My father's name is Abundant Blessing. My mother's name is Faith, Hope, and Love." Yun spent the next 4 years in prison. Made me think about Paul. Our whole article was 7 pages long, but I just sort of took out bits and pieces of it. You can read his book. Because Yun refused to conform, prison officials resorted to beatings and electric shocks in an attempt to penetrate his house church connections. Yun told Charisma, "With thick needles, they squeezed acid under my nails, and I fainted from the pain." You guys haven't suffered at all. Unlike many Western teachers who equate Christianity with comfort and abundance, Yun preaches a gospel that emphasizes suffering and ruin. He sees affliction as a way to commune with God. In his book, he wrote, "I did not really suffer for Jesus while in prison. I was with Jesus." The ones who really suffer are those who never experience God's presence. Let's read that again. In his book, he wrote, "I did not really suffer for Jesus while in prison. I was with Jesus." It was a privilege for him to be suffering. The ones who really suffer are those who never experience God's presence. Revivalist Roland Baker, who with his wife Heidi ministers among the poorest in Africa, says Yun's life is one so totally captured by Jesus that no imaginable hardship or persecution can stop him from being more than a conqueror. Right here you can see the reason why you fuss all the time is because you're not in love with Jesus. You're not sold out to him yet, and you still have too much flesh hanging on. In 1997, the PSB raided a clandestine Sinem meeting trying to avoid arrest. You know, this is a meeting that Yun always headed up. Trying to avoid arrest, Yun leaped from the second floor window but fractured his leg. He was met on the ground by the PSB, who beat him and issued electric shocks. Sharing a wall between their cells, Yun and Zhu, who also was arrested during the raid, were tortured for several days at the maximum security prison. Yun's legs were beaten with clubs to rule out an escaped attempt. Yun says torture taught him an important lesson. "Even though God did not speak a word to me, no matter how much I cried, even though God didn't immediately set me free from the pain and terror, I've come to understand that he was there with me." What does God say? "I never leave you nor forsake you. I'm always with you." After 6 weeks of the prison's third floor, Brother Yun believed God wanted him to escape. So on the morning of May 5th, 1997, after his wife, in a vision that morning, told him to open the iron door, and after Zhu whispered to him that the time had come, Yun asked the guard for permission to use the bathroom. Although he barely could stand on his battered legs, when the iron door opened, Yun says he suddenly was able to walk on his own, which he did right past the first guard. On the stairwell, he says he grabbed a broom to pretend he was tidying up the place, then proceeded past the second guard, who looked straight through him. Praying with every step, Yun says he reached ground level and found the third iron door open as well. Stepping onto the courtyard and into broad daylight, Yun thought he would be shot in the back at any moment, but amazingly, when he reached the prison's main gate, it was opened also. He walked onto the busy Sangong streets and a taxi pulled up. The driver asked, "Where to?" Later, Yun learned that no one ever escaped that prison. It was the worst prison there was, and then he goes on to say in his book that they eventually closed the prison down because of what they did to the prisoners that were sent there. In 2001, Yun was arrested once again, tortured and beaten for 7 months in a Yangon prison. With parasitic worms visibly crawling beneath his skin, Yun sought to share the gospel with other inmates, and many made decisions for Christ. Yun says it was God's will for him to be a seed buried in that prison, where in a cesspool of disease and unimaginable pain, revival began breaking out. See that? His 7-year prison sentence was reduced to 7 months and 7 days, roughly the time it takes for a seed of wheat to sprout, says Yun. After his release in September 2001 from his final imprisonment to date, Yun once again faced accusation from fellow Christians. They were in his book that he said they made this, they said he made this all up. Persecution has made Yun even more fervent and fiery for Jesus. Phil Carlson believes Yun's testimony is an alarm clock to the church in the West. It calls the church back to that deeper level of commitment to take the cross for real. When we look at how God's chosen men died, we need to repent. First, the apostles were, we know how Jesus died, right? First, the apostles were continually threatened and pressured to deny their Lord during their ministry, especially as they faced torture and martyrdom. What do you think is going on right now? If you read what's going on overseas, because God told me I need to watch what's going on overseas, because that is the end time signs of what's going on over there. I just read the other day where they set this man's house on fire. Before they set it on fire, they tied him and his two sons up in the house and then set the house on fire and made his wife and children watch their husband and two brothers burn to death. Christians over there are being bombarded. They're being killed and being sought after and put in prison and tortured because they will not deny Christ. There isn't anything this man went through that I know one of you, you would deny Christ for. You went through anything he went through. I know I, because I watch you. You know, you're not strong enough in God to endure. And we're going to have to endure if we're going to make this end time thing that God is doing right now, this dark, gross darkness that's going across the land. God told me, he said, they don't know how to endure persecution. That's why I put this together. All right, well, let me see. None of these men who spent time with Jesus chose to save their lives by denying their faith in him. We talked about the apostles. Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia, killed by a sword wound. Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. Now, that would be a horrible death. Luke was hanged in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. Peter was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross, according to church tradition, because he told his tormentors that he felt unworthy to die in the same way that Jesus Christ had died. James the Just, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, was thrown over 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat James to death with a fooler's club. This was the same pinnacle where Satan had taken Jesus during the temptation. James the Greater, son of Zebedee, was beheaded at Jerusalem. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, was martyred for his preaching and flayed to death by a whip. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross, being whipped severely by 7 soldiers. They tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. But he continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he died. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips. Jude, brother of Jesus, was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Matthias was chosen by the apostles to replace Judas Iscariot. One report is that he was stoned at Jerusalem by the Jews and then beheaded. Barnabas, one of the group of 70 disciples, wrote the Epistle of Barnabas. He was stoned to death at Salonica. Philip was crucified. Paul was believed to have been tortured and then beheaded by the evil emperor. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment, which allowed him to write his many epistles to the churches he had formed throughout the Roman Empire. See why this Jan, he reminds me of Paul. Paul was going through all that pain and agony, but yet he wrote all those letters to the churches that he had set up. He wasn't worried about it. And in there he even says, you know, it was wonderful that he could suffer for Christ. Okay, then this was an article that I read, and it's prophesied end times persecution is here. Around the world, people are burning Bibles. Many Christians in the Western world don't even realize that the persecution of the end times has already started. All over the world, Christians are being attacked. Bibles are being burned and churches are being shut down. This persecution has been escalating for quite some time, but what prompted me to write this article today was the dramatic change that we have witnessed in China this year. Up to this point, the Chinese government has largely tolerated the booming house church movement, but now that era of toleration is officially over. New religious regulations that went into effect in February are being brutally enforced, and this is causing some to point out the frightening parallels between communist China and Nazi Germany. According to the Fox News, during this new crackdown, Chinese government officials have been destroying crosses, burning Bibles, closing churches, and forcing Christian believers to sign papers renouncing their faith. I mean, Fox News isn't the only one that said this. I didn't even know they said this until I read this article, but that's all I've been reading about is how they're persecuting the Christians. The Chinese government is destroying crosses, burning Bibles, closing churches, and forcing Christian believers to sign papers renouncing their, I wrote that twice, in a faith, as a crackdown on religious congregations in Beijing and several other provinces intensifies. The suppression of religious freedom is part of an official campaign to synchronize religion by demanding loyalty to the atheist Communist Party and removing any potential challenge to the party's power in the country. This has also crept into the United States of America. I can't believe the amount of people that go to the Satan's churches and how they dress like him, talk like him, act like him, and think it's the right thing to do. In America, this is happening. Overseas, they don't do that. They're hiding every place they can, getting the gospel, worshiping the Father, knowing that any given second somebody could knock a door down and they would be instantly killed. But they are not going to deny their faith. You guys won't even live your faith. You know, I mean, talking about the body of Christ. The body of Christ won't even live their faith. Complaining and complaining and complaining. When I was first born again, I've told you this, that God said that we are going to suffer. And that's a fact. That one song you sang, I thought, I wonder if they even noticed what they're singing there. Even as you suffer, you know, God is with you. You know, sometimes we suffer by the hands of other Christians. The way they tear you down, talk behind your back, you know, ridicule and condemn and criticize. And that's not of God. You young kids are in school. Do you really portray Jesus Christ, or are you just living like the other kids live? You need to really think about this. These kids overseas are being killed because they will not deny Christ. They could. Just because your mother and father won't doesn't mean they don't have that they have to keep following God. They're allowed to deny their faith, but they don't because they love the Lord. It's time that the American church gets awake and understands the kind of war we're really in, and that eventually it's going to hit us full force. And what are you going to do? Are you really ready to go through the persecution that we're going to go through? Doesn't that sound quite similar to Nazi Germany and other tyrannical regimes? If Christians refuse to sign these papers, they could lose their jobs or be cut off from all government benefits. What's going to happen whenever you're on welfare and they say, well, you have to deny Christ or we're going to cut off your benefits? Oh, no, I have to eat. After all, you have to pay my doctor bill. I can't deny Christ. I wouldn't do that. You know, don't ever say that, because you don't know what you're going to do till you're in that situation, right? So let us pray for strength for our brothers and sisters in China, because many of them will be confronted with some very hard choices. According to the Express, authorities have also raided Christian homes to remove religious symbols, arrested church members, and seized churches. In Henan province alone, more than 7,000 crosses have been destroyed. But other than Fox News, most of the mainstream media outlets in the United States have been completely silent about these very important story. Why? Because some of them are communists also. They belong to the demonic churches. And they're not allowed to preach against what they believe in. You can see some footage of Bibles being burned in China on Twitter right here. And then they had a place where you could click that. This is evil on a level that is hard to describe. And it seems to be getting worse with each passing month. Earlier this month, one pastor was heartbroken after authorities burned crosses, Bibles, and furniture after a raid on his church. A Christian pastor in the Henan city of Nanyang, whose name was not identified out of fear of retaliation by the authorities, reportedly confirmed that crosses, Bibles, and furniture were burned during a raid on his church on September the 5th. He added that local authorities were in discussions with the church about reforming it, but no agreement had been reached. According to Chinese laws, religious believers are allowed to worship only in government-sanctioned congregations. But many millions of Christians belong to underground or house churches that ignore government regulations. So exactly what kind of reform did authorities have in mind? Basically, China wants churches to look like something out of a George Orwell novel. The following comes from CBN. Chinese Christians report authorities have urged church leaders to remove pictures of Jesus from their sanctuaries and replace them with the patriotic posters or posters of President X1 instead. They've suggested hymns be replaced with patriotic songs about the wonderfulness of the Chinese Communist Party. Nettleton also said Chinese authorities are using advanced artificial intelligence software to monitor church attendees. Related articles. Report. This was one of the deadliest acts of religious persecution last year. And ACIJ implores us to stop murder, persecution of Christians in Pakistan. That's two other articles you can read other than this article. One pastor in Beijing not long ago was told by the government, "Pastor, we don't mind if you continue holding your services. We just want to put this camera on your platform looking out at the audience, and it's attached to facial recognition software so that we can tell who comes to church on Sunday and who's there and what they are doing and how involved they are," he said. Could you imagine going to a church like that? I couldn't. I would like a camera up here looking, you know, taking all your pictures, watching what you're doing so they can come to your house and burn your stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. This is the persecution of the last days, and it is only going to get worse. In addition to everything else, the Chinese government is banning just about all expressions of faith on the internet. In addition to these attacks, the Chinese government is implementing tight restrictions on online content related to religion. Images and descriptions of religious activities will be largely prohibited, with exceptions for organizations that have obtained license from the government. And even then, what kinds of religious content they may share is restricted. See that? As the Telegraph reports, individuals would be forbidden from posting photos, videos, and even text related to religious activities or sharing links related to preaching. Why would you even want to go to church? You know, that's where I'd want to go, to a home church or an underground church. Why go to these churches? It's not church, right? This will happen here in the United States too, eventually, if we don't fight it. And of course, it isn't just in China that we are seeing a rise in persecution. Just a couple of weeks ago, Islamic radicals viciously attacked home churches in Egypt. Homes of Copts in the Minya region were attacked by hundreds of furious locals, leaving two Christians with knife wounds in the head and face, World Watch Monitor reports. Four homes were ransacked, looted, and partially set on fire by a Muslim mob during the three-hour-long attack, which was reportedly in protest of one of the properties being used as a home church. I have heard years ago that home churches were going to be abandoned. You know, you weren't going to be allowed to have home churches. So, you know, this is where God's been telling us to draw close to Him, be able to hear His voice for ourselves, and not depend on hearing it from somebody else, because you don't know when you're going to be isolated. And you're going to need to hear from God on how to do everyday things. You're going to have to hear His voice so He can warn you where not to go to, tell you where to go to, and tell you what's going to be happening in your life, even for that day. A local source for Christian persecution watchdog World Watch Monitor said the small Coptic community had been warned about the attack on August 31st, a few days before it took place. See, somebody warned them about it. And earlier this year in Ethiopia, a total of 69 churches were torched by radical Islamists. You don't know when somebody's going to come in here and torch the church. In your home. It could come to a place, and in fact, God told me years ago it's going to come to a place we're not going to be able to be safe in our own homes. And what they have, talked about quite a few years ago, where they were going to be able to sit out on the road and be able to see everything you did in your home. They had the equipment to do that, right? I believe one of you guys told us that. You know, so you're not going to be safe anywhere. So, and this is not the scare thing. I'm just telling you, God said you're not ready for persecution. And this is something you have to start thinking about. How deep do I really want to go with God? And what will I endure so that I don't deny Christ? You know, like Peter, whenever Jesus died, he ran and he denied Christ. And then he ran and hid. Then when he came to us, because he was in fear for his life. But when he came to his senses, he repented and then he was on fire for God. So what we need to do is not get in fear like Peter did. Be all ready to, you know, to face any kind of persecution we have to face and not deny Christ and go on and serve him. And they didn't leave Peter alone either, did they? They didn't leave Paul alone either. They're not going to leave you alone either. I say anybody dies right now, they're better off than we are, because they're not going to have to face all of this. And, you know, and I thank God, you know, if you're really close to God, you go into rapture and you won't have to do the last. They say there's going to be 3 years of tribulation before the rapture and then 3 years after, or three and a half, something like that after. And that's when all the persecution is really going to take place. But we don't know when that's going to happen either. So God is trying to get us ready to be strong Christians so that we can witness to those who do not know Christ and give them the opportunity to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior so they too can one day sit in heavenly places. Now, like Brother Chris Lynch, God told him through me that he was going to have to stay here and go through persecution, and he told my oldest daughter she wouldn't go up in rapture either. She would stay back here because he needed strong people to stay here to lead the other people to Christ and go through all the things they had to go through. I just thank God he didn't tell me I was going to have to stay. Amen. And when I called and told her, she said, Mom, I already know. God already spoke to me and told me that. And she was crying, and Brother Chris said, I don't know if I want to do that or not, but he didn't have a choice. You know, God said he was going to stay behind. What's those movies, Left Behind, is that what they are? I think maybe you ought to watch, get those movies out, videos, whatever they were, and watch them to see what happens when you're left behind. Because it is the truth. Don't you understand that these movies are all made up from truth, from fact, not fiction? You know, it could be a demon who knows what's going to happen that makes them. It could be a Christian who God has informed them of what's going to happen. It really is the truth. And we need to take heed to what God has been forewarning us for quite some time now. When I was first born again in 77, he said, you're living in the days of Noah. That's quite some time now, 40-some years. But I'm quite sure we was living in the days of Noah before that. So God has been trying to get the church lined up so he could use us to head off the darkness that's coming across the land with our lights. Because we are supposed to break up the darkness. Isn't that what God's been telling us? That our lights are supposed to be so bright that we'll be able to pierce that darkness. And that's how some people that are lost are going to be able to come through. All right, where are we at here? On March 2nd, Muslims went on a rampage in an Islamic area of Ethiopia, beginning with an assault on churches in ICC and others altered the world and called on the Ethiopian government to intervene. Unfortunately, the local government did not intervene, and the attacks continued for a week. When the smoke cleared, the damage was evident. The Muslims had burned down the homes of 30 Christian leaders. They had killed one Christian, wounded several others, and torched 69 churches, a Bible school, and a Christian orphanage. One of the many wounded in these attacks was the grandson of a church elder who put himself in between the Muslim militants and his grandfather when they arrived to kill the elderly man. The Islamist attacked the young man with machetes, seriously wounding his head and hand and leaving him for dead. His family was forced to make a 3-hour journey on foot to bring him to a hospital in a nearby city. Hatred for Christians and the Christian's faith is rapidly rising all over the planet, and this was something that I warned about in my book about Bible prophecy. We should do all that we can to put pressure on governments to stop persecuting Christians, but if we really are in the end times, ultimately the persecution is just going to continue to escalate. The good news is that persecution always brings out the best in the people of God. Well, quit shaking your head, yes, I said, or he said. The good news is that persecution always brings out the best in the people of God. It brought out the best in Yun. And I believe that the greatest chapters of the church are still ahead. So I'm believing that because God told me to warn you that you're not ready to go through persecution, that you're going to get yourself together and you're going to be able to go through persecution. And it is going to bring the very best out of you. It's going to bring that strong warrior. That's why I sang that, had to sing that song about a warrior. I'm a warrior now. But are you really? You have to really stop thinking, how strong am I? If you can't put down your knife and fork for one day, how are you going to endure persecution? If you can't put down your cigarettes, how are you going to endure persecution? If you can't stop drinking your sodas, your coffee, how are you going to endure persecution? See, there's things that we have to think about. I'm just throwing this out there. These are the things we have to think, I'll be able to endure persecution. But yet you can't give up a cup of coffee. You know, you can't give up a cigarette. You can't give up your grumbling and moaning, groaning and complaining. See, all these things are going to have to be out of you before the persecution comes, or you're not going to be able to endure. So let us pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world, including the United States of America. And let us also prepare ourselves for the immense persecution that is on the horizon for all of us. You know, your persecution could just come from your family. They could try to really make you, you know, stop believing in God and stop doing everything that God's calling you forth to do. They might call you a radical. They might say anything. But saying to God, we have to get ready for persecution. Just have to. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And, you know, when we go out to preach the gospel, we have to tell the truth. There's no way that we can go out and preach the gospel and not tell the truth. We have to tell the people what's going to happen if they don't receive Christ. I was witnessing to somebody today and I said, you know, you're getting sicker and sicker. If you don't turn to God like God told you, you are surely going to die, because that's what God said. You're going to die, but you can reverse this if you turn back to Him. They're backslidden. And I see you getting weaker and weaker every day. Please turn back to God. But I can't make them turn back to God. I can't make any of you love God more than what you do right now. I can't do that. That's an individual responsibility. It's you and your walk with God. Not me and you. It's your walk with God. I can't make you trust God. And just, you know, like this young man said, when he was in prison, God never spoke a word to him. And all those years he was in prison, been beaten and everything else, never spoke one word. But he always knew God was with him. Now, we want a word. Give me a word. Give me a word. Give me a word. Tell me what's going on. Tell me what's going on. Why? Why can't we just go ahead and walk with God and not hear a word? Trusting that He is with us and bringing to pass everything He's ever spoken to us. And I'm not, you know, God is bringing a prophetic gift forward like never before. And I think it's for the lost. But it's also for the church. And I'm not saying don't desire to hear from God, because I sit down every day and talk to God and want to know what's going on in my life. So I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying, if you don't hear from Him, why is it a big deal? And I've noticed one thing, you know, people who used to write a word every day they heard from God, they aren't writing every day now. They're writing every other day or every 2 days or something. And I said, God, why is it? And He said, because they don't have to hear from me every day. They need to start learning how to walk by faith and not by what they hear. So I'm really encouraging each and every person in this room tonight to deepen your walk with God. I want you to go so deep that you'll be like Jan, and no matter what comes your way, you are not going to give in to any threats. You're going to stand your ground. You know, so, with Jan, he was tortured. But if somebody comes in and says, if you don't deny Christ, we're going to cut your head off. Hey, when you cut my head off, I'll be with Jesus. You know, go ahead and I don't care if you cut my head off. You know what I'm saying? But, some people value their lives so much they don't want to even die for Christ. They'll go ahead and say, no, I deny Him. I deny to live. Why? To go to hell? I never could figure that out, why people value their life over their walk with God. You know, if God takes you, you're better off. You can be up there dancing with the angels and helping God get prepared for the second coming of Jesus. You could be so busy up there you don't know if you're coming or going, right? So why do you want to live? What I'm saying is, if they say to you, deny Christ or die, why would you want to live? And when you do that, you know where you're going. You're not going to heaven because you denied Him. Now you're going to have to spend an eternity in hell wishing that you wouldn't have denied Him. I just really think with all my heart that the body of Christ doesn't know what faith's all about. You know, they don't really walk by faith. And you need, that's why God kept telling us we have to get our faith walk stronger than what it is. And we're living, it's just a time where we live by faith and not by sight. You know, when God said, He told us, your church is Isaiah 60. Rise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. You haven't believed that, because you don't act like, when's the glory coming? When's the glory coming? And I've told you, God told me the glory's already here. It's just not here in its fullness, but you're still wanting the glory. Why not be happy with the little He gives us? Some churches don't have the glory. So you have to be content with what you have, and then God will add to. You can't always be wanting, 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 wanting. And so many people are writing right now that everybody thinks a revival is great healings and all that kind of stuff. But really the revival that God is bringing forth right now is people's hearts changing. He wants to start that revival fire in us individually. And then as he gets our hearts changed and that fire bright, then he can bring revival, because then you'll be ready to minister to the lost and the dying that revival brings. But I've noticed one thing as they're reporting about these two revivals that have broken out. The only body that I hear going to the revivals is pastors, Christians who are sick. It's not about lost coming in and being saved. It's all about the church running to another church that's having revival. And that's not really what God wants. He wants us to be so full of him that we are the revival. And that every place we go, we're going to see all kind of signs, wonders, and miracles happening. And I know that God's prophesied that to some of you, that wherever you go, you're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles happen. And that's because you have sold out to God. And he was able to come in and change you and rearrange you. And he's able to drop his glory in you. Amen. Come on, God said we're on the very verge of the greatest revival that the church has ever known. But my church isn't ready to receive it. Right? God just spoke that. And he's been telling us that over and over and over again. My question to you tonight is, when are we going to be ready? When are you young kids going to quit worrying about if you're going to have a boyfriend or not, and what, you know, what's going to happen to you tomorrow? When are you going to really just sell yourself out to Jesus? I've been reading a lot where the revival is breaking out in young kids on campuses and everywhere in schools, and the kids are really hungry for God. Kids that didn't know Jesus, but they're, and see, this is what sad part is. The kids that never taught about Jesus are the ones that's getting on fire for Jesus. The ones who have been brought up in churches or, you know, just started learning about God don't want him. And God can't use him. Now that's sad. That's really sad. So are you ready for persecution? You have to answer that question tonight in your own heart. Are you ready for persecution? And I'm not going to say you're going to be put into prison. I'm not going to say you're going to be beat. That's not even, you know, that has nothing to do with it. Are you ready for your family to disown you because you're serving God? Are you ready for the people at your workplace make fun of you because you believe that Jesus Christ is real? Are you ready to lose your husband or wife because they think you're too radical and they don't want to live around you? They want to live the high life, you know, live out there in the world. Are you listening here? It's really time to change, saints. It's time to go in a new direction. It's time that we just trust God with all of our heart and know that he is in total control of all things. And I know that that is not easy at all. Because every time you, I believe, the devil comes and says, do you really, do you really, do you really? And by that I mean he throws things at you. And to try to get you to doubt. If he's not doing that to you, then thank God that you're not really immersed in Christ, because those who are really immersed in Christ are being fought day in and day out. I wished every day, I said, God, I'd like to go back to 40 years ago, maybe 50 years ago, when the church was a lot of fun. You know, you went into the house of God and you didn't fight no devil, nothing. You just went and had a good time. And everybody was happy, happy, happy. But it's not that way today. And I've had to come to grips with that. It's not that way today. And we are under persecution. And it's not going to get any better. But what God wants you to be, he doesn't want this to be a gloom, doom, and despair message. He wants you to glean from this and to understand there is a better way in Christ. Just like this young man, Young. He thought it was wonderful that he was in the prison, being beat and everything for Christ, because a revival broke out because of that. And like he said, he wasn't suffering for Christ because Christ was with him. And see, we have to come to that place where we're supernaturally so happy that we have Jesus, that nothing in this world can take him out of our hearts. Nothing. And the more you start changing, The more the devil's going to send people around about you to try to make you lose your religion. He really is. He's just going to bombard you day and night with different things through people to make you just say, is this, I don't ever say that, but, you know, if I wasn't immersed in Christ, I would say that. I know I would. I would say, is this really worth it all? The dark is getting darker. The people are getting darker. They're not getting brighter. There's no light in the dark people. But what about you? And God told me there's so much jealousy in the body of Christ. It really makes him upset. So much jealousy. Oh, well, look, they're prophesying. Well, big whoop. You know? Who cares? We're supposed to be one body, one mind, one accord, total unity, everybody working together to see God's kingdom come. Aren't we? But I don't see that in the body of Christ. I really don't. And it's upsetting God that the body of Christ won't change and get rearranged. So tonight, you have a few choices to make. You have to get out of your own old mindset. You have to allow God totally and completely change you, not just a part piece here and a part piece there, but totally and completely change you in the way you think, the way you act. And I'm hearing God say the way you deliver yourself to other people. And then you have to ask God to just really give you strength to endure the hardships that are coming your way. The whole Bible talks about hardships. It does. And persecution. And, you know, everybody was in prison writing the letters. Paul, Peter, and all them. They encouraged the people to be strong in the Lord, even in their persecutions. And see, the church doesn't want to talk about that because then you lose people because they say, well, I don't like to hear that kind of stuff. Somebody has to hear it if you're going to work for Christ. You know, somebody has to tell it. Why not you? You know, why not you? See, why not you? You're not doing it right. You know, you should be saying, you're not doing this thing right. You can't go around telling everybody that what they're doing is okay when it isn't okay. You can't go around telling everybody everything's all hunky and dory when it isn't hunky and dory. We just talked about the president. I feel so sorry for the president of the United States. I hope everybody prays for him continually. Yeah, I feel sorry for his family. Because I don't know of any president that's ever been in office that's been persecuted like he has and his family. And I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If you're talking about him, I'd like to see you being president and you being persecuted like he is. I'd like to see what you would do. Come on. Everybody thinks they know what to tell him to do, but they wouldn't know what to do if they was in there. God is on the throne. God chose the man. God chose each one of you for your special assignment. Nobody else can do your assignment except you. He knew how you was going to be persecuted. He knew all the things that were going to come your way, but he still called you, and he expects you to be strong in him. Even when you're persecuted, even though everything is going wrong, he still expects you to stay strong so that you can minister to the other people. Now, are you ready to go that extra mile tonight? Are you really ready to sell yourself? Here I am, all excited. No, are you ready to go that extra mile knowing that you'll be persecuted? I want you to think about that before I have the altar call, because that's part of the altar call. He wants to strengthen you tonight that you'll be able to go through persecution. And all right, let's just take Astrid, for example. I keep looking at her, so let's just take her, you know. She's out there trying to get herself together, trying to get her monies together. So what happens? It floods down there. Her car gets flooded out. Her car is totally ruined. She doesn't know what she's going to do because she still has money in the car, you know. But she just kept plugging on. She didn't stay home and say, well, look, God didn't help me. And she just kept plugging on. And so God moved on her behalf. And he's helping her, and she's excited about that. And so she endured persecution. I think your parents are overseas. It could be enduring persecution. And she has to sit here, you know, while your family's other enduring persecution. You have to be strong for them. You have to be praying that God will keep them safe, and God will cover them just like he did Yun when he was escaping from the prison. That the prisoners didn't even see them. Remember, Corrie Ten Boom's sister did the very same thing. Carried a Bible right past the guards. They never even saw her or her even having a Bible. She went right on by with a Bible in her hand. God is able to do this. He is. I know for a fact he's able to do this. But you're going to have to stay strong. You're going to have to stand in the gap. You're going to have to quit worrying about you, and you're going to have to start giving yourself for other people. Now, if you thought about all that, then the altar is open. And God does want to touch you with extra strength and stability, he's saying, to stay the course no matter how rough the course gets. Come on. Our God is more than able. Our God is more than able. We don't serve the devil who has no power and authority. We serve a God who has all power and all authority. He's able to open up those prisoner doors for you guys as families, just like he did for Yun to walk right on out. You just don't know. You shortchange God. You don't understand what he wants to do for you. But tonight, he really wants to touch you in a special way that you'll be able to endure.